Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you virtually. I know I said that last week, but it's kind of the new thing going around here. But it's been an awesome morning already. Yeah. I mean, I was able to listen to one of our elders, George Spurlock, and one of our deacons here, David Barnes. Not only are they those titles, but they're our dear friends. We love them very much. They're actually still here, but they did a great job having a Bible class this morning. And so I'm already, my bucket is already about to overflow. And so I'm looking forward to this hour now that we're going to spend together, being able to draw closer to our Father, being able to strengthen our grip on our faith and stirring up love and good works. We are live on my Facebook page, also on another page that I am now part of, Terry Cagle Ministries. I had to call it something, so that's what it became. And then also through Vimeo. And so thank you for tuning in. To prepare our minds now for entering into our worship period, we're going to have a song, and then after that, we'll continue into our worship. Glad you're here.
What a great song that was to open. We are certainly in need. We want to, again, welcome you. So thankful for the class that we've already had this morning. I know that was a joy for many to tune into. I thought it was really cool how George and Dad went through the fellowship hall naming different people. And I know they missed some. And I know afterwards they're like, oh, man, I should have named here and there. And it's just impossible to name everybody, I guess. But, you know, I've seen certain congregations around the country that have taken and printed off the faces of every member and like taped it to the pew, so it's almost like everybody's here, and I think that's really cool. We haven't done that, but we at least will try to, like Dad and George did, envision you being here. I want to remind you, if you will, this is not for our benefit, but ask you to share this page or share this live stream on your Facebook page, and let's try to, again, get the word out to so many people. It's been really cool to see how many people have at least had the opportunity to tune in to worship and to Bible classes because of people sharing, because of the social media and the technology that we have. Again, want to welcome you to worship. Ask you to go ahead and take time maybe to share that real quick. I know Terry may have, or is going to open us up with a scripture reading and then open us up into prayer, and we'll get on into our worship service this morning.
We're going to read from Psalm 146, verses 1 through 3. Later on in the lesson, we'll read all the first six verses here. But I really like this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm, and I like the way this version words it. Praise the Lord. All three versions that I pull up all record it that way. Praise the Lord. That's what we're here to do today. We're here to praise God. Get rid of the distractions. Get rid of the things that may be weighing us down. And let's praise God together. And it goes on to read, let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you so much for being our Heavenly Father. Thank you for guiding our feet, guiding our path, lighting it up, directing our steps. Father, thank you for all that you do for us, allowing us the opportunity in the world that we live in to be able to come together, even though we're told to shut the doors to try to stop the spread of this virus. Father, it hasn't stopped you. And Father, we're going to continue to praise you. I pray that today, as we enter into this worship service, that we praise you with everything we have. Father, that we will not put our confidence in people. We will not put our confidence in higher up people. Even though we do lift our government and officials up to you, Father, and ask you to be with them. Be with all those in our medical fields who are going to work every day to put themselves in harm's way so that we can stop this terrible virus. Father, I do lift them all up to you, but Father, I still pray that we will not put our confidence in any man, that we'll put our full confidence in you. Thank you, Father, for allowing us this opportunity to worship you today. We ask this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. As we enter into an opportunity to take of the Lord's Supper, we're going to have a song that's going to play at this time for that.
Yes.
Prepare our minds as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, as we just heard that song that God is the one that is worthy of our praise. And we certainly want to make sure we do a great job of that this morning. If you would, go ahead and if you're taking this the portable communion or the pre-filled communion cups that we have, go ahead and pull that top layer back if you would. Some lyrics to a song, and I've used this here when discussing communion or preparing our minds for communion, is done by Vocal Union, which I believe is also the a cappella company. But it's titled Once Upon a Tree. It's one of my favorite songs. I'm going to read those lyrics to us this morning. Once upon a tree, He died at Calvary. Once upon a tree, He suffered loss. Greatest story told, starting with these few words. No, not with once upon a time, but once upon a tree. Once upon a tree, He died at Calvary. Once upon a tree, He suffered loss. Greatest story told, starting with these few words. No, not with once upon a time, but once upon a tree. And when you think about famous fairy tales, they all start with once upon a time in this faraway land. There lived this whatever, you know. And that generally is the beginning to a lot of fairy tales that you may read as a child or movies that you may watch as a child. But our story begins with Jesus Christ on the tree, right? It's the greatest story that's ever been told. It's not beginning with once upon a time. It begins with once upon a tree. And Jesus Christ was willing to make that sacrifice on our behalf. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 21, reads like this. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. It is certainly because of Christ's body on that tree that you and I have the ability and the privilege to die to our sins and live to righteousness. It is an opportunity to be back into the fold of God. Like we were like straying sheep, but we have now return to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. As we partake of this bread, let us pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for creating us. And Father, even though we have gone and messed that up, thank you for seeing fit to send Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Thank you for His body that was beaten, bruised on our behalf. Father, thank you for the love that He displayed towards us by still going to that tree. Thank you for His sacrifice. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be renewed and to be in a right relationship with you because of Christ's body. Father, as we partake of this bread right now, I pray that we will do it in a manner that pleases you.
If you will, go ahead and remove the aluminum foil that is covering the juice. The Hebrew writer reminded us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You know, the greatest gift a person could give is all of their blood. There's no price on that. There's no price on what a person's blood is worth. And so, when I think about what Jesus did, He purchased our salvation with all His blood. And today, we're going to remember that great gift, that selfless gift by Jesus shedding His blood for us. As we partake of this juice, let's give thanks. Father, there are no words that properly put into the right presentation to You our gift of thanks for what Jesus has done. But Father, we ask that You will know our hearts, that You will look at our hearts and Father, know in our hearts, we wouldn't be here, we know we wouldn't be here without the shedding of Jesus Christ's blood. Father, we know that there is no price that we could put on that sacrifice. But Father, I pray that we will never forget how much blood Jesus spilled so that we can be here today, so that we can worship You, so that we can go to heaven. Help us now as we partake of this emblem that represents Your Son's blood to remember that great sacrifice and gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We now have an opportunity to sacrifice ourselves. As Jesus has sacrificed His life for us, His body being beaten, His blood shed on our behalf, we have this privilege now to give back. And we need to do it in a way that it really does sacrifice, that maybe it hurts a little bit. It digs down into our pockets, into our checking account, knowing that God is the one that has blessed us with our jobs and the monetary blessings that we have. We need to make sure we give back at this time. Again, it needs to hurt, but we need to make sure we do it in a cheerful and a joyful fashion. Parents, if we talked about this too, if your kids want to give at this time, maybe you can have a jar set aside that they can give and that you can hold on to, and when we do get back together, they can all bring that up and put that into the jar that they're used to doing for a children's contribution. If you would like to do that at this time, that would be great as well. But let us pray as we prepare our minds to give back. Father, thank You for our blessings. Thank You for the jobs that we've been given. Thank You for the nice things that we have. Father, help us at this time to realize and to remember that it's not on our own doing, that it's because of Your blessings. Father, help us to remember that what we have is not really ours, but it's really Yours. Help us at this time, in a joyful and a cheerful fashion, to give back to You, to give back to the work of this church, Father, knowing that there are missionaries and there are ministries that we are still trying to support. Father, that as we continue to strive to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community, in our nation, and in the world around. Father, I pray that You will bless us this time. Help us to give in a way that pleases You. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hey, to begin our sermon this morning, we have titled this, you have titled this. I know you have preached along the lines of this before, but man, what a great time I feel for this. It's titled, Christ, the Healer of Our Broken Hearts. And as we discussed a few minutes ago before we started worship, just kind of getting our heads wrapped around all of this, we discussed this is important, not because we're going through this coronavirus. I know we've talked a lot about that and because it's just maybe necessary at this point, but this is something that when the coronavirus ends, which it will at some point, when we're all back together, there are still going to be broken hearts.
Absolutely.
We need to remember that Christ is the only healer of our broken hearts. In that, I know you have a lot of points maybe in an introduction, but I was reminded, I was thinking about this on the drive towards the church building this morning. I was reminded of a Brady Bunch episode for whatever reason, and I know you're laughing because we talked about this and you said you vividly remember it. So if you're like under the age of 30, I'm sure that just went right over your head. Just ask your parents. It'll be fine.
Tune into TV Land.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, maybe there's reruns around. YouTube might be putting it somewhere. But anyway, so the Brady Bunch was this show about a man with three boys of his own and a lady with three girls of his own. They were married, right? Had six kids together. I'm not going to sing the intro song to it, but maybe I could. But in one of these episodes, I remember the boys had been playing basketball outside. Peter, as the middle child, was going to go on a camping trip. Okay, so Greg and Bobby, the oldest and the youngest boy, came back inside throwing the basketball around, and probably not a good idea, obviously never is a good idea. Like, we've all broken something before in our parents' houses. Maybe it's like throwing a tennis ball at your sister's, not saying that I ever did that or anything, but we've broken something in our parents' houses. Well, they were playing basketball inside, and somehow the ball bounces down the hallway, knocks a vase off of a table in the hallway of Carol's, right? And, of course, they're panicking. The girls are upstairs in this episode. They see what happened, and they all devise this plan, like, we're going to glue it back together, and it's going to be perfect, okay? And so they all together figure out how to glue it together. All right, I'm going to try to make this really short, too. Anyways, Mike comes home from work that day with flowers for Carol. And eventually at dinner that night, Carol wants to put these very nice flowers that Mike has given her in this new vase, this vase that she loves so much. Right? The kids have glued it back together, and they realize after they've glued it back together, it takes 4 to 6 days for that glue to cure. Okay? So now Carol wants to put the flowers in the vase, and they're panicking a little bit. They go and fill the vase up with water, put the flowers in, they set it on the dinner table. They're all just anxiously awaiting something to go wrong, right? Hoping that their parents don't realize that this vase had been broken earlier. And all of a sudden, water starts pouring out of a leak, and then out of another leak. And then eventually, the parents find out. And I guess why it came to my mind is, you and I tried to patch our lives together. We break stuff all the time, right? And when we patch it together, it's going to fail. But God, through Jesus Christ, is the only one that can patch our lives together and it be perfect and complete again with no leaks, no cracks, no imperfections in it. So hopefully that helped prepare some of our minds for what we're going to say this morning.
Yeah, well, I smile because I remember that episode, but I also remember a time when I actually did something like that in my own home. My mom had home interior. I guess a lot of people from maybe the 70s, 80s probably had a lot of home interior. See, I'm dating myself.
Yeah, I don't
right
have,
now.
I'm lost.
And I remember there were three raccoons, one on the bottom, middle, and top, and that were, I always thought that was us, my brothers and myself.
About right.
And I was dreaming I was some great baseball player throwing something up and anyhow, it was a shirt. I was trying to, you know, catch it. And anyhow, it broke, and I wanted to glue it back together, but my brothers wouldn't help me, and so I think I probably got in trouble for that one. But your point is exactly right. It's our mindset of when we're broken, we try to put it back together ourselves.
Right.
But we leave a piece out, or two pieces out, or the glue doesn't set up, or whatever it may be. And we know that our hearts, even though we've tried to put it back together on our own, we tried to put our lives back together on our own, you know, it still leaves holes because we can't do it. We're not the ones that can get it done. And so that mindset leads us to Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, God had made everything good. And this is what I want people to see from God. God is not the coronavirus giver. God is the one who gives all good and all perfect gifts. And in Genesis 3, paradise is beautiful.
Yeah.
Man, you want to talk about seeing God every day? Could you imagine when Adam and Eve woke up of a morning and they looked out and they saw a perfect garden that they didn't plant, that they didn't have to till, that they didn't have to fertilize, that they didn't have to sweat over? All they had to do is go get the fruit from the trees or the vegetables from the garden. And they had plenty to eat and plenty to take care of. And they didn't have clothes, and they were not ashamed, and everything was great, because after all of it, God said, it is good. It was not good for man to be alone, so He gave him Eve. And so Adam and Eve are married there in paradise and everything else. And when it was good, what did the devil do? He slithered his way right in to break up the family, to break up paradise, to make a good thing become imperfect, to make it become bad. And so what happened in Genesis 3 when Eve ate of the fruit and Adam ate of the fruit? Paradise, as they knew it, was broken. And once they realized that paradise was broken, they went and they covered themselves because now they were ashamed. They understood what being obscene was and being sinful was and all these things. And they understood that was broken. That perfectness they had was broken, and so they covered themselves. And then they heard God walking in the mm-hmm. middle of them, which is an amazing scene in itself. And what they do, they go and hide. We don't ever want to play hide and seek with God. God will always know where we are. And He asked Adam, and I think this is very important in Genesis 3, verse 9. He says, "Where are you?" Now, I want you to know, this is God of the universe. This is Jehovah. This is Yahweh, the one and only true living God. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. He knows our names. He knows everything about us. He knew where Adam and Eve were. He knew what tree or bush they were hiding behind. But He wanted to know, is Adam, where are you spiritually? And I think that's the question that I'd like for us to portray today is, where are you spiritually? You know, in that mindset of Genesis 3, paradise was broken. The bond between God and man was broken. Hope was broken. Perfection was broken. Adam and Eve's lives were broken. What could God do? You see, just like life entered with the first man, Adam, sin also entered with the first man, Adam. But the second Adam, who is referred to as the Scriptures, but it's Jesus Christ. Life had to come back.
That's right.
A way out of sin had to come back. And that came in the form of Jesus Christ. And so Christ is the one that can take all those pieces of our hearts, all those pieces of our paradise, all those pieces of our lives, and put it back together. So if we fast forward from Genesis 3 to today, the question is still the same. God is still asking it, where are you? We could say, where are we? But that's not real personal.
Yeah.
I want you to use the personal pronoun. I want you to ask yourself, where are you? Are you today without a vision, without hope, without focus? I know I'm pointing, you can't see it, but it's our theme this year. Are you without vision? 2020, vision, focus, get it? Yeah, everybody did that. But anyhow, Christ, if you're without vision, Christ made the blind to see.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe today you're tuned in and you're feeling numb. You have no feeling whatsoever. You're just existing. I want you to know that Christ made the lame to walk. Are you living a life that's sinking? You're so slowly taking on water, and you can feel yourself drowning. Maybe it's because of the circumstances, or maybe it's because of our own circumstances. I want you to know that Christ saved those who were drowning, and He walked on top of their problems. Are you living a life today without hope? Christ is the one who raised the dead. Are you brokenhearted? Well, I'm happy to report through all this, Christ is the healer of the brokenhearted.
Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine. A crushed spirit dries up the bones." And I believe that every one of us in some way is brokenhearted. What to us causes a broken heart? And it's going to be our first point this morning to discuss this for a few minutes. What truly causes us to be broken? Why are our hearts not always joyful? Why do we have a crushed spirit? There is actually a syndrome, a broken heart syndrome. If you Google this, you can read different things about it. Basically, these come from stressful and extreme emotions, right? So we can actually have a broken heart through stressful and extreme emotions. I think part of that is what we're facing now, but it's what we face possibly every day of our lives. Again, we said in the beginning, we don't want this just to be about the coronavirus and this pandemic we're going through today. This is going to preach for years and years to come, like until eternity comes, right? Broken heart syndrome usually is preceded by intense physical or an emotional event. Death, abuse, finances, divorce, other major crises, right? Here's some other things I think broken hearts can be caused by. Fear.
Right?
Fear can paralyze us, can't
it?
We can have anger built up inside of us. Like Miss Alicia's done an outdoor Bible activity, and we're going to broadcast this one as well, but talk about Jesus' love is bubbling over is what we're going to use it for in this activity. But she's done it from the aspect of anger. It's like it's okay to be angry and do not sin,
right?
But when that anger bubbles over and boils over and exposes itself, hey, there could be a problem. Hopelessness, you mentioned that right there in your introduction. maybe you're checked out. Like, we can have hearts that are checked out, that maybe we sit in the pews, but we're really not here. We're really not present. Or just having a hard heart. I mean, those are some signs and some symptoms that you and I may have a broken heart.
Exactly. And you know, through Scripture, we see people with broken hearts. Mm-hmm. And for all the reasons that you said, really.
Yeah.
One of the saddest to me is when David is so sorrowful over his son Absalom. There are a couple times, and by the way, this is all results of David's doing.
Yeah.
Satan too, but David's doings, because you remember he sinned with Bathsheba, and even though he ultimately, and we'll reference Psalm 51 later, even though he ultimately begged God to create in me a clean heart, mm-hmm. he still had to suffer consequences of sin, and his family was in turmoil because of that. But in 2 Samuel 18, verse 33, David is so sad over Absalom. Listen to the sadness in this verse. Then the king was deeply moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said thus, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son." You know, Justin, one thing in our studies, in our counseling studies, we learned is one of the most stressful things that a person can go through is the loss of a child.
Yeah.
David saw this on multiple occasions. Mm-hmm. Remember, the son that Bathsheba was pregnant with died as well in the womb. And many of you have been broken over that kind of tragedy. And some today, and it may not be over a son, but you're crying out to your sons, to God, to life, to whatever, "Oh, why me? Why me?" Mm-hmm. Or "Why not me?" You see, that's a broken heart. Mm-hmm. Jesus in John 11, verse 35, again, he knew everything that we go through. Mm-hmm. He suffered hurt. Absolutely. And in fact, it's that short verse that everybody uses to say, "Hey, I can quote a verse, you know." But it says, Jesus wept. Well, what did he weep over? He wept over Lazarus' family. I think Jesus, with all my heart, wasn't crying over Lazarus dying. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But he also knew it had to happen a certain way so that he could prove who he was to people. And so Lazarus died, and he saw Mary and Martha, they're suffering, they're hurting, they're crying out in anger. If you'd have just been here, and maybe that's us today crying out. Well, I want you to know, Jesus is not mad at you for crying out. He's weeping.
Yeah. He says there in Scripture there that he was pretty much deeply moved by all their anxiety.
Absolutely.
Peter's another one. I know you kind of referenced that when he said that if we're drowning, Jesus is willing to rescue
Absolutely.
You and walk on top of
yeah.
your problem. Well, Peter had brought on some of this brokenheartedness himself by denying Jesus Christ.
Right.
When that rooster crowed and he realized that what Jesus had predicted had come true, he went out and wept bitterly over that as well.
That's right. You know, Justin, thinking about that, and that's where I was going to bring Psalm 51 back
mm-hmm.
up. You got Peter weeping bitterly
yep.
there. Jesus, though, visited him again.
He sure did.
You remember in John 21, mm-hmm. there he sees Peter. Well, actually, when he resurrects from the grave, he tells them, "Go get my disciples," and he names Peter because I think he knew Peter needed to hear that. And I want you to know, he's calling your name today. Maybe it's you and I that need to hear this. And you remember he wanted Peter to have breakfast with him. And mm-hmm. Peter, when he realized it was Jesus, he didn't even wait for the boat to get in. He just jumped in
right.
and swam to him. David, you know, was pointed out by his friend Nathan mm-hmm. the prophet. "You are that rich man, that man who could have had any sheep, and you stole this poor man's sheep."
Yeah.
And that's when he begged God, "Created me a clean heart. Peter, you know, forgive me." And of course, Jesus told him, "Feed my sheep, feed
that's
my
right.
sheep, feed my sheep." But, you know, we've had broken hearts. And this is minute in the grand scheme of things. But when my mind was going through this lesson and thinking back, when was the last time my heart was truly broken? Man, I think it probably was in December. And you were there, and I was coaching our football team. We had made it all the way to the state championship, and we led the game. If you know football, there are four quarters. We led the game. They took the lead. Piedmont took the lead over us with 20-something seconds
mm-hmm.
to go. We led and we just couldn't score, and they beat us. And man, it was hard.
Yeah.
I mean, my son, who's a part of the team, cried. My daughter, who was up in the stands, who's 9, cried. I shed a few tears. Our players sobbed onto my chest. It was hard. We were broken. I couldn't even talk about it for several days.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that seems so minute, but when you put so much time and effort and things don't go your way, you're broken. But then when you come out on top of it, if you allow God to heal it back together and put you back together, you know what you do? You come out stronger.
That's right.
I'll say this. I know you got something else to say. When Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. When I was a child, that nursery rhyme bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
It was sad. I mean, I know that seems silly, but
sure.
I'm thinking this poor, what was he, an egg? I guess he was an egg. He couldn't. But you know, we can't, as much as you and I, with our degrees in counseling, want to help people put their lives back together, what is our job? To point them to the one who can.
That's exactly right.
You see, we can't. King's horses and king's men can't put us together, but Jesus Christ sure can.
I one time had a cup, and I think it was a Charlie Brown cup. I can't remember. It was glass, and I remember sliding across the counter one time, and it falling off and shattering on tile floor. And I just remember when you talked about Humpty Dumpty, like that's the visual that came in my mind. Like there was no putting that shattered glass back together.
Right.
And if we think about this spiritually, and we've talked about it a little bit, but Isaiah 59 is kind of where I'm going to focus a lot of my thoughts from today. In the first few verses there, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that He cannot save or hear, or His ear dull, that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and you and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear you." So the first few verses there in Isaiah tell us that it's our sins that have caused our broken heart, spiritually speaking. And there is nothing that you and I can do to get back into that right relationship with Jesus Christ or back into that right relationship with God. We need somebody to bridge that gap.
That's right.
Right? And that really brings us to our next point that, hey, guess what? As much as we try to do it on our own, as much as we use God sometimes as our last resort, God is very qualified to heal and to fix our broken hearts and our lives today. Just as much as He was qualified to heal Adam's broken heart, just as much as He was healed or qualified to heal David's broken heart, just as much as He was qualified to heal Peter's broken heart and so many others, He is still qualified today to heal us.
No doubt. The same God, now 7,000 years ago, formed man.
Mm-hmm.
2,000 years ago, brought Christ to the world. That's a long time.
Yeah.
But they are way, as you said, more qualified than we can even fathom.
Sure.
Even in 2020 today, to put everything back together. I told you we'd go back to Psalm 146, go there, and then we're going to go to Psalm 147. Mm-hmm. And that's this next point here, is Christ is still qualified to put our hearts back together. Again, Psalm 146, beginning in verse 1, "Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. They can't put Humpty Dumpty together, and we can't put you together, but He can. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth." In other words, they're human just like us. They're going to die just like us. "And all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever." Now go one page over maybe, and let's read the same opening, Psalm 147, verses 1 through 6. "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is a pleasant and a song of praises fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel." Here it is. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names." That's pretty amazing right there. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Is Christ, is God still able to heal the brokenhearted? Listen, yes. I mean, we could read Scripture after Scripture. We could fill up hours today reading Scripture to let us all know in remembrance that Christ is still in control. God is still in control. But another reason why, not only because He's all-powerful, because He named all the stars, because He's able to do all the things He did, but Christ also suffered, like we said earlier, from a broken heart. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about Christ's heart being broken. His heart was broken over Jerusalem. You remember He looked out, and that's really, that's where the church should have been the strongest. And that is where the church was established in Acts 2. But when He looked over Jerusalem and all the people and the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and all those who were against Him, He looked out over Jerusalem, God's chosen people, and He mourned. Mm-hmm. In fact, He said this, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." That's a sad scene. Mm-hmm. He also, as we mentioned earlier, wept over Lazarus. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He knows what it's like to have friends betray Him. You remember Judas, who for 3 years was as close to Jesus as anyone. Mm-hmm. He, even though he was taking money and helping himself to the treasury, Jesus didn't call him out. But ultimately, he was going to take one small gesture of love and affection, a kiss, and betray our Savior. Jesus knew it was coming, and I believe it broke him. Mm-hmm. But in Gethsemane, and I know this is the week that our world is getting ready to observe Easter. Mm-hmm. And listen, I think it is awesome that we can come together and celebrate Christ's resurrection every Sunday. I do. But I also think it's awesome that in this time of turmoil, mm-hmm. a lot of our world, at least our country, this coming Sunday, will be thinking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But to get to the resurrection, Jesus had to be broken. And I believe it started in Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. You remember there that Jesus, we've mentioned it here a week or so ago, that even though He needed to do this, and He had to do this, He still longed for another way.
Yeah.
He didn't want to go through the pain, but I don't think He wanted to go through the separation. Mm-hmm. You see, He was broken. He prayed fervently. He prayed in anguish. On the cross, He was broken. In fact, a lot of physicians in studying this, because Jesus lost so much blood from the scourging all the way to the crucifixion, and that blood would just have to pump, and His heart would have to pump, and He was so filled with anguish and so filled with hurt and pain that many say that His heart pumped so much that it literally exploded. So if, in a sense, if we want to ask ourselves, is Christ able to heal us? Remember, this is the one who died from a broken heart.
You know, jump back a little bit in Psalm 146, and two verses stuck out to me, one in 146 and one in 147. "But joyful are those who have God of Israel, the God of Israel," in verse 5, "as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God." And it kind of references back to Proverbs 17:22 a little bit. A joyful heart is good medicine. The hearts that have God in them, the people that have God in their lives, are the ones that can be joyful. Through God is the only way that you and I can be joyful, because we have Him as our helper, our hope, that hope that we have in Jesus Christ, rest in Him. Also in chapter 147, verse 3, talks about how our wounds, there in the NLT she read to us, our wounds are bandaged. Like, it's like sticking a Band-Aid. How many times as a kid did you get a scratch, or maybe with your kids today, have they gotten a cut on their ankle or on their knee or something from riding a bike or falling down, and you go put a Band-Aid on it and it just heals. It's miraculous, right? Like, everything is fine when a Band-Aid goes on. And that's what we have to allow Jesus Christ to be our Band-Aid. Now, Band-Aid's kind of like a temporary cover-up. Spiritually speaking, Jesus Christ is going to perfect us.
Exactly
right? We've got to remember, because of Gethsemane, because of His willingness, even though He didn't want to, He pushed forward. Because He endured that separation, because He endured all the pain and anguish, you and I have the perfect Band-Aid. Christ can be that great physician to us. Have you ever broken a bone? Or
I think I broke my pinky toe one time, but I never
that
got
doesn't
it.
Count.
I never got it checked out, but no, I haven't.
I really haven't either, like the stress fracture or something. Well, thankfully, not yet. If I continue to play basketball, I'll probably tear an ACL one day. But I haven't had any injury like that.
I hurt my knee my freshman year football.
Okay, that does count. All right,
okay.
I'll count that one. So a lot of times when people break bones or when people tear ligaments or whatever else, it takes a lot of courage, like mental and physical courage, to get back doing what they enjoy doing, right? Get back on that football field or on that basketball court or whatever it is, or tennis court, to do whatever. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, be strong and of good courage. Like, to me, if we're going to remember that God is still qualified, we have to have that courage to move forward. We have to have courage to endure our brokenness. To me, courage is key. It takes the courage for us to move forward, just like an athlete has to have the courage to get back on the athletic playing field. You and I have been knocked down many times by Satan, by our own selves. We have to have the courage to continue to get up, to continue to fight, to know and have the confidence that if we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that we have eternity on our side. We just have to keep having that courage and pressing forward.
That's exactly right. And, you know, it kind of gets us really to our final point here. Mm-hmm. Just to recap, because I know we talk a lot in between, but we've learned what causes a broken heart. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that. We've talked about that our Lord is very, very qualified to heal and fix our broken hearts and lives. We need to remind ourselves today, not just today, but really throughout our time on this earth, that Jesus Christ is still the great physician.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to just take you down memory lane of our Scriptures for a moment. I want you to know what He did in Scripture to be able to calm fears, to heal hearts, to heal lives. And then I want you to think about what He can still do for us. First of all, I don't have time to go through all the things, but you remember blind Bartimaeus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we talk about Bartimaeus a whole lot, but blind Bartimaeus had been blind and he was told to shut his mouth. But see, part of him was broken. And he heard the great physician was coming. And so with that mindset of, hey, you just be quiet, he cried out by the road, save me, heal me. And of course, Jesus took time out of His very busy schedule to give Bartimaeus his sight. In Mark chapter 5, there was a weak woman. She had a disease that caused her to lose a lot of blood. And she'd had that disease for 12 years. And in those 12 years, she had gone to many physicians and only gotten worse. She heard that Jesus Christ was in town. Instead of sitting on her couch thinking, oh, that's the one who can heal me, she made her way to Him through the crowds. In a weakened state, she touched the hem of His garment. Jesus knew that the power had left His body, and again, there were people thronging at Him, grabbing at Him everywhere, because He was the great physician, and He still is. He turned around. It's kind of a comical scene in the Bible. He says, who touched me? And the disciples are like, what do you mean, man?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people touching you, you know? But He knew. And He turned around and He saw that lady and He told her, hey, your faith has made you well. How about when His disciples were in a panic? Jesus had separated Himself to go pray to His Father, and I think that's very important for all of us today. We've got to separate ourselves and make time to spend quality time in prayer to God. Jesus went and He did that, and there were times He'd come back and they'd be in the middle of a storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or He was asleep on a pillow during the storm or whatever it may be. He would calm those storms. Or what about Legion in Mark chapter 4? who's got so many demons in him that he can't even be tamed. In fact, they don't know what to do with the guy, so they try to chain him up in the middle of the hills, and he's so strong, he breaks those chains, and he scrapes at himself, and he's so just, you know, without clothes and without sanity and everything else, and so he's a big scary guy, and Jesus, with just a few words, casts all those demons out into that herd of swine. What about his mother? In John chapter 2, the first public miracle that Jesus did, turning the water into wine, she was in charge of the wedding feast. And it wasn't Jesus' time. But his mother was going to be the laughing stock of the area. And so, she knowing that Jesus could do it, he put aside it being the right time. My time has not yet come. What does your concern have to do with me? But Jesus didn't want his mother to be brokenhearted, so he took care of her. What about the adulterous woman in John 8? Remember how broken she was. Remember that she was caught in the very act of adultery. And they were going to stone her to death. But Jesus sent all those sinners away. And it was just he and the woman. And he said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" How about Zacchaeus? A man who'd been shunned, who wasn't liked, who'd been made fun of for being short, who had been disliked because he was a tax collector. Jesus certainly made him feel special that day. How about the struggling fishermen? Peter, Andrew, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee. You remember the story. We've talked about it 1,000 times up here now. Expect the spectacular, right? Peter was struggling so bad. They had fished all night, caught no fish. He said, "Launch out into the deep." Peter, that nevertheless, maybe in his heart of hearts, he was hoping to expect the spectacular.
Yeah.
You remember those nets were so full, they were busting, they had to get help. You know what Jesus did for all of us? He picked up our broken pieces of our broken relationship with our Father. And he built a bridge by dying on the cross. Jesus Christ, the great physician then, still the great physician today.
So let's recap a little bit. I think every one of us in some way, shape, form, or fashion, we're all broken people. Whether that's because of death, abuse, finances, fear, anger, checked out, hard hearts. Ultimately, Isaiah 59, spiritually speaking, because of our transgressions. God is still qualified. He heals and binds up our wounds. He says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you," Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1. "I have called you by name. You are mine."
That's right.
Right? Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4, David saying there that, "Hey, even though I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." God is described as a very present help in trouble. Christ is still the great physician. Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, he says that those who are sick are in need of a physician. And there is no physician, even though we have great physicians around us, there is no physician that can heal by just saying, "Hey, your faith has made you well."
Right.
There is no physician that can raise anyone from the dead by just speaking, "Hey, Lazarus, come forth." Right? There is no other physician that can heal in that way. Jesus Christ is our great physician because of His wounds we have been healed, right? He was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah chapter 59. In verse 21, I'm going to read through 60 and verse 4. It says, "And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth. Or shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your offspring or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you and His glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. To me, our iniquities have separated us from God. Jesus Christ, as you reference, is the bridge that we can get back into the right relationship with God. And because of that, as Isaiah here is prophesying the future glory of Israel, you and I have this future glory. Because of God's glory, because of His mercy, because of His love, because of Him healing us and all the pieces being put back together, you can't see any imperfections because of Jesus Christ. God doesn't look at the flower pot and say, ah, see all those cracks. I see the glue. He looks at us and sees perfection. He sees through all of the brokenness. Because of that and because of His glory, people are going to come to us if we can allow our lights to shine. Remember, we're broken.
That's right.
God still possesses the power to heal our brokenness, and He did it through the great physician, the great physician, Jesus Christ.
You know, as we close, I want us to think about this. Jesus Christ, He rebuilt what we lost in Adam.
Mm-hmm.
But in the midst of that garden, God asked Adam, "Where are you?" I would think that God would still ask today, and I think He's still asking today, if we're not centered around Christ, then where are you? Mm-hmm. You know, I respect doctors. I really do. We've got great doctors and nurses and physician assistants and all that go to church with us that are actually watching right now. And by the way, we're lifting you all up, and we love you so much, and I appreciate you so much. So I respect these doctors, but a couple that really stand out to me, one is the one that brought both my children into this world. That was a big deal for me.
Sure.
You know, and he did it like it, you know, you would go plant a garden. I mean, just nonchalant, nothing to it, but it was a big deal to me. Mm-hmm. And then the pediatricians that have taken care of my children. Mm-hmm. You see, those are very important because those people are very important to me. So why would we respect doctors? Maybe you respect the ones that's taking care of you. Maybe they've helped bring you back to life or whatever. Well, I want you to remember the greatest physician of all time is Jesus Christ. As much as I appreciate the ones who've taken care of my children, I got to appreciate Jesus so much more.
Mm-hmm.
See, He's willing to take our hearts today and bring them back to life.
Mm-hmm.
He's willing to take those pieces, and there'll be no leaks.
No. Thankfully.
He'll put it all back together. So instead of the question being, where are you? Maybe the question ought to be, are we willing? If you are willing, if you want to be immersed in Jesus Christ, call us. I want you to know that even though there is a, hey, do not get out and go order in place, we are doing this legally. And Justin and I have passes. And so if you need us, call us. We'll come baptize you, all right? But if you just need to be prayed with, if you need to be talked to, if you need to be loved on, call us for that too. Call our elders. Let them know. And just know that Jesus Christ is willing to make it all. Are we willing is the question. Let's pray together. Father, we love You so much, and we're so thankful to be Your children. What a great day. God, I'm just so filled up, and I'm so thankful that we started with Bible class, and Father, we've had this worship service, and I pray, Father, that it's been uplifting and encouraging to You, that we've all grown closer to You and closer to one another through it all, even though we're separated with distance and with physical contact, Father, I'm thankful that we're able to be together. Father, I pray for those who need to come to know You, that they'll do that, Father, and I know that there's coming a time when we'll be back together, but Father, if there be those who need to make things right, I pray that they won't wait till that time, Father, that we'll make it right now. Just continue to take this virus away, and Father, just be with our medical personnel who's all meeting every day trying to help. Be with our country, our leaders, our president, Father, as they make these decisions. Father, I pray that even though we're filled up right now, that we won't miss the opportunities to do our outdoor Bible, that we won't miss the opportunities to have our teenagers together, our roadrunners will meet later. And Father, there's so many other things. One-to-one's already met as well. And Father, just thank You for this platform and all those who are willing to make it all possible. We love You so much. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Can we close it out?
Close it out, bro.
So I have a few announcements. Thank you again for tuning in. Terry prayed it just a second ago, but man, we have to be full at this point. And it was a great class this morning by Dad and George, and that was awesome. I know a lot of people tuned into that. One-to-ones already had their class. That was at 9:15 this morning. Teenagers will have a class at 12:30. Roadrunners is going to have a class tonight at 5. We're going to have a song service that's going to be posted tomorrow at some point. So be looking for that.
Probably in the morning.
Probably in the morning. We're not going to bound Terry by time necessarily. Satan is not going to win. Right? That's got to be one of our overarching things throughout this. He's not going to win. We know that. But he's not going to he's not going to divide this church. He's not going to separate any of us spiritually. You know, every Sunday, Bible class is different to me. Meeting with the teenagers, having class on Sunday mornings like we usually do, that's different to me. But Sunday mornings like this, I always have a little bit of, I don't know if it's anxiety, little butterflies. I used to always do that when I was playing sports, running track, or whatever it was. Always have a little bit of nervous energy to begin with. And I kind of feel that way on Sunday mornings. Driving over this morning, kind of had some of those feelings. Because this is, like you said in the beginning, this is really, really important.
No question.
And especially this week as a lot of our country and world's going to focus on the events leading up to the last week of Jesus' life, up until his resurrection. What a great opportunity that we have. I'm thankful for the technology. I'm thankful for the opportunities that we're able to get content out to people. I'm thankful for the comments. We're not paying attention necessarily to these comments, but we see them pop up every once in a while, and people saying, wow, are we really to the last point? Is this really about over? And that's such an encouragement. I love our church family.
Me too.
It's incredible. And I'm thankful for this time we're going through because it's stretched us, it's tested us, and I believe through this we're going to grow immensely. Thank you again for your attention. Teenagers, remember today in our Bible class, we're going to do a sidewalk chalk challenge this week. So we'll have more details on that. That's going to be a lot of fun, I believe. Remember Outdoor Bible, Terry again mentioned it in his prayer. I put a link on on Facebook today, just to make sure in case you weren't getting the church emails, make sure you've got those. There's activities. There's a few of them left up here. I'd be happy to deliver those to you if you need them. So just get in touch with us if you need
them. Yeah, and let me just comment. If you missed the class this morning, and here's the thing. We call it the adult class. But anybody can watch this stuff.
I chimed in.
I did too. I
don't know if I'm an adult, but
me either. But here's the thing: you can go back and watch it through our Facebook, and you might have to scroll a little bit or what have you. But if you have a Roku or an Amazon Fire Stick, in Roku it's called Channels. Search Azalea City Church of Christ, and it wasn't working, but it is now. I emailed Vimeo, and they made it work. I checked it already. We will upload our class and our worship to that. In Amazon Fire Stick, it's an app. It's a channel in Roku, an app in Fire Stick. You search in the App Store for Azalea City Church of Christ. All you do is download those. They don't cost you anything. It's not live, but you're able to go back and watch it. We'll do the same thing with the song services. And so, man, we've had plenty of opportunities to get the words out. Some had pointed out that maybe it wasn't public, that when I shared it or whatever. We're trying to fix that. When we stream to it, if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. It is public, but anyhow, we're trying to get the word out as much as possible. So share this, not because it's us, but because it's Him, and we want His name to be glorified. But we appreciate you. We love you. Justin's going to close us out in prayer, and then we're going to have another song. And, hey, we'll see you. Roadrunners, Zoom, 5 o'clock. But if not, we'll be back here Wednesday night.
Looking forward to it.
Me too.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for this great day. Thank you for this privilege we have to worship you. God, I pray that we've done that in a way that's really pleasing to you. Father, I pray that that you have been uplifted, and I pray that our entire church family has been uplifted. Father, I pray that we can get your message out to the masses. I pray that we will do our job in sharing this message, whether that's through social media or through our voices, Father. I pray that we can get the message of the cross out to people. Father, thank you for healing our broken hearts. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our Creator. Thank you for seeing it fit to send our great physician, Jesus Christ. We pray all these things through His name. Amen.